Today's daf is Chulin daf Nunhe. We are 9 lines from the bottom of daf Nun Dalid Amid Beis. So yesterday we began the Mishnah that discusses not the Elu Trefois Bebehema, but rather the Elu Kisheros Bebehema. The Mishnah said, Nikva HaGargeres, if there's merely a Nekev in the Gargeres, or if there's a crack that's going down the length of the Gargeres, or if there's a hole in the Gargeres, meaning we're actually missing some of the physical matter of the Gargeres, up to the shear of an Isar Ha'italki, which was a coin. In other words, what you see from the Mishnah is that even though we've been saying throughout these sugyas that there's a fundamental difference between the gargaris, also known as the kana, also known as the trachea, and the vesher, also known as the esophagus. And that is a nekev in the vesher makes an animal a trefa. But a nekev in the gargaris does not make an animal a trefa. What would have to happen to the gargaris, to the kana, in order for the animal to become a trefa? So the Mishnah, on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, right in the beginning of Perikei L'Trefa said, Psukas HaGargaris, it would have to be severed. Rav Avyoi, Rav Chaloi, the Gemara discussed in great detail what that means. From this Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, and we saw this in the previous sugyas as well, you see that even if the trachea was not severed, it's still possible for a defect to render the animal a trefa, and that is if there's a chisorot, not a nekev, not a puncture, but we're actually missing part of the kana. How much? Up to an Isar HaYitalkis. Rav Nachman, who begins this morning's daf, discuss, what about if it was exactly an Isar HaYitalki? Meaning the Mishnah says, Ad Isar HaYitalki. Clearly, up to an Isar HaYitalki would not be considered a trefa. More than an Isar HaYitalki would be considered a trefa. What about an Isar HaYitalki itself? Do you look at it as if it's less than an Isar HaYitalki, thus the animal would not be a trefa? Or do you look at it as if it's more than an Isar HaYitalki, so that the animal would be a trefa? In other words, do you say ad veloy ad bichlav? Or do you say ad va'ad b'chal? Zok t'gumar. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Kisela, when you find the sheer sela in the lachas of Treifus, Rashi says, where do you find that? Sheer, it's in the context of a skull. The halacha is, with regards to a human being, that if his skull was damaged, there's a chisaroin up to a sela. The halacha is, he's not considered a treifa. If it's a sela, he would be considered a treifa. So it says Rav Nachman, what about a sela itself? It's kiyasa mikasela. We look at it as if it's more than a sela. Meaning, only up to a sela is he not a treifa. But if it's a sela, it's as if it was more than a sela, he would be a treifa. Ki isser, as it relates to the shir chisaroin of the kana, where the Mishnah said, ad ki isser yitalki, he's not considered a treifa. More than isser yitalki, the animal is considered a treifa. What about the isser itself? Ki isser is kiyasimikis because of Rav Nachman. So you see clearly says the Gemara, Rav Nachman holds ad v'loy ad b'chal. When the Mishnah says ad ki'isar italki, it's ad ki'isar v'loy ad b'chal, meaning elu k'shera is up to an isar italki, but for the isar italki itself, it's not going to be kosher. Isar Rav the Rav Nachman, is that true? Is it true that ad v'loy ad b'chal, and the Gemara is going to fire away with questions on Rav Nachman with brises and mishnayis, which at first glance would seem to suggest ad v'ad b'chal, says the Gemara. Chevel ha'yoytze min amito, the context over there is a Mishnah in Mesechtes Kelim, and it's discussing the beds of once upon a time where they would tie a rope around the base of the bed. That rope was considered part of the bed. And being that it was considered part of the bed, just like the bed is makabel tumah, the rope itself would be makabel tumah. The context over there is what happens if there was too much rope? So there's a little bit of rope that's hanging now from the bed. The purpose of the rope is to tie it around the bed, but this is dangling because there was a little left over. If that part of the rope would become tumah, is it makabel tumah or is it not makabel tumah? At first glance, you should argue it's not makabel tumah because that chelik of the rope is in and of itself not a keli, it's not a beged, it doesn't meet the criteria, not everything is mekabel tumah. It has to have some level of chashivas. That's just a little extra piece of the bed that's hanging, thus you can make the argument that maybe it shouldn't be mekabel tumah, or maybe no, maybe look at it as a chelik of the bed. It's attached to the bed, so if you look at it as a chelik of the bed, maybe it should be mekabel tumah. So in practice, it's actually a little bit complicated. The halacha is like this, if the chevel, if the rope is up to 5 tvachim, it's not makabel tumah. If it's between 5 tvachim and 10 tvachim, it is makabel tumah. If it's more than 10 tvachim, it's also not makabel tumah. Either way, how does this relate to ad v'ad b'chlal or to ad v'loy ad b'chlal? So says the Gemara, Rav asked Rav Nachman Akasha, Chivla Yetz Ben Amito, ad chamisha tfachim tahar. The Mishnah says, M'zachtas Kalim, that if this extra piece of rope is up to five tfachim, it's going to be tar. My love, chamisha kilomato. Doesn't it sound like up to five tfachim and five tfachim as well? Meaning five tfachim as kilomato would be tar. If that's the case, you see ad v'ad b'chlal. How could you, Rav Nachman, say ad v'loy ad b'chlal? The Gemara says, loy, chamisha kilomailo. Rav Nachman told Rav, where do you see in this Mishnah that five tfachim is tar? Maybe five tfachim is tamei. Tashma. The next part of the Mishnah, mehei v'adasara tamei. We just said that if the rope that's dangling is between 5 and 10 tfachim, the halach is it's going to be tamei. My love, asara kilomata. Here too, doesn't it sound like 10 is kilomata? Meaning 10 is going to be tamei. You see, ad the ad b'chlal. So he said, loy asara kilomailo. Maybe asara is kilomailo because ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Tashma, a raya from a completely different halacha. Hadakin shabekli cheres. If somebody has a kli cheres, so kli cheres is mekabel tumah. What happens when a kli cheres is mekabel tumah? You can't toivel it. There's no tahira for a kli cheres. What you have to do is you have to destroy it. You destroy it, it loses its status as a keli. Once it loses its status as a keli, it's not tummy anymore. Because only when it's a keli is it tummy. But once it's not a keli anymore, it's not going to be tummy anymore. What happens if somebody had a kli cheres? He broke it, but it didn't break completely. It broke into larger shards. So then, depending on whether there's anything you can do, there's any hishtamshus that you can use those shards for, that would determine whether or not it's still going to be tamei or it's not going to be tamei. So the context over here of this halacha, also Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, is discussing some of the kli cheres that was tamei, and now it's broken, or even if it was tahar and he broke it. And we want to know if what's remaining, these shards, is still chashuv as a keli. Thus, it's subject to the laws of Tumah, or it's not subject, or it's not, like it says the Gemara, Dakin Shab Kli Cheres, the smallest Kli Cheres, Hain, if you broke it, and you have a little piece left over, the Karkarei Seyem, that would be the floor, V'Doifnei Seyem, the walls, Yerushim Shalem Sumachem, to the extent that you can use them without providing any support, Shiyuran, if you want to know whether it's considered a Keli, it would have to be big enough, or small enough, because it's going to be a very small share, B'Kdei Sichas Kotan, it would have to be big enough so that it can hold the amount of oil that you would need to smear a katan, a baby, an infant, a child that was just born. This is all true v'ad loik, if the original size of the keli was up to a loik. So if the original size of the keli was up to a loik, meaning it was able to contain up to a loik, now you have a piece of it. You want to know if it's still considered a keli. What's the shear? The shear is if it's bichdei sichas katan, then we look at it as if it still has a chashivas of a keli. That's if originally it was able to hold up to a loig. My love, loig kilomata. When we say up to a loig, isn't it mashma that if it was a loig, it too would have the shir b'teich sichas katan, even though the Mishnah said ad loig. So what do you see from there? Ad v'ad b'chlal. Es for Rav Rav Nachman. It's not like you Rav Nachman who said ad v'loy ad b'chlal. It's a loig, loig kilomata. Who said? Where do you see in this Mishnah? I mean, really, you have to go through each one to understand what the Havamina was. Where do you see in this Mishnah that loig is kilomata? Maybe loig is kilomata. And the understanding was ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Toshma, the loig b'ad saw, regarding that same halach, if the klicheretz was a little bit bigger, it was able to contain anywhere between a loig and a saw, b'revias. And now it's broken, and you want to know if the shards still have chashivas for tuma, so if it can contain up to revias. If originally it was miloig vatsa, now in its broken state, it has to be able to contain up to a revias. My love, when we said miloig vatsa, it's sa kilomata. A sa itself is like miloig vatsa, it's berevias. Thus, when it says ad sa, it's including a sa, ad va'ad bechlal. Again, a kachron of Nachman, where it says, like sa kilomata, maybe sa kilomata. Toshma, misod vasa saim. That Mishnah continues and says that if the keli, the original keli, was even bigger, it was misod vasa saim. This is a very big keli. So there, the halach is bechatzi lug. As long as now it can still hold a chatzi lug, it's still considered a keli, it's still going to be tummy. My love, sa saim kilomata. When we say misod vasa saim, isn't sa saim treated like milamata, like miso v'ad sosayim, and the shir is bechatzi log. So again, you see, when we say ad sosayim, it's ad v'ad b'chal. So the Gemara says lo sosayim kilamaylo, because maybe ad v'loy ad b'chal. Frank the Gemara, v'tanya, we learned in the braiso loig kilamato, so kilamato, sasayim kilamato. Checkmate. So from the Mishnayis itself, you don't know, because all the Mishnayis said was v'ad loig shirum bechtei sichas katan. What about a loig itself? I don't know. It maybe depends on whether you hold ad v'ad b'chlal or ad v'loy ad b'chlal. When it said miloy v'ad sa, I don't know if sa's kilomata, Ad v'ad b'chal, osas kilamayla, ad v'le ad b'chal. The same is true for Safsai, but here the price is mefurish. Loig is kilamata, meaning when it says ad loig, loig is like the ad loig, it's kilamata, it's ad v'ad b'chal. So saim kilamata, it's ad v'ad b'chal. So saim kilamata, it's ad v'ad b'chal. Rav Nachman said, ad v'le ad b'chal. Rav Nachman was from the gedoyle, gedoyle amayron. But even Rav Nachman can't argue with a b'raisa. So if that's the case, eisvei rov le Rav Nachman, maybe the Mishnayos themselves are not indicative one way or the other. But this is a mefurish, a b'raisa. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman's going to have to say, hasam l'chumro. Maybe that b'raisa is not discussing me'ikar hadin, because maybe me'ikar hadin, Rav Nachman sometimes holds ad v'loyad b'chal, but l'chumra he holds you will go ad v'ad b'chal. What's the precedent that maybe we should go l'chumra specifically as it relates to all these halachas that we just mentioned, which are shiurim? The precedent is something Rabbi Yochanan said. Kol shiurich acham im lahachmer. Anytime we assess a shiur, we go l'chumra. Rashi gives an example of it. So if you have a shiur that's based on the width of a person's fingers, his etzbais, so you could hold your fingers together, which would make it a smaller shear, or you could keep them together a little bit more loosely, which would make it a slightly larger shear. So what do? You always go l'chumra. If it's l'chumra for it to be a smaller shear, then you make it a little bit smaller. If it's l'chumra for it to be a larger shear, you're always going to go l'chumra. Chutz mikigrish al ksamim, with the exception of ksamim, that's in huchas nida, l'haka, because then we always go l'kula. But the bottom line is, being that you find kol shiur chachamim l'hachmer, so Rav Nachman held that even though I hold, that as it relates to l'treifus, for example, there's a concept of ad v'loy ad b'chal, but when it comes to shiurim of tumah v'tahira, that's the context, those mishnayis and brises as it relates to Masechtas Kelim, there we're going to go ad v'ad b'chal, l'chumra. But enochanami, if it was l'chumra to say ad v'loy ad b'chal, over there you would say ad v'deikanami diktani Allah dahi, and really it's mefurish kemat in another brise like Rav Nachman. Because the brise says chamisha kilamayla and asara kilamata, that as it relates to the shear of chamisha, you go lamayla. As it relates to the shear of asara, you go lamata. That's referring to the rope that was dangling from the bottom of the bed. So what was the halacha? Up until five tfachim, the halacha is it's considered tahar. It's not mekabel tumah. From five until 10, it's tameh. More than 10, it's going to be tahar as well. Thus, up until five, which it's tahar, so five itself, you go lamayla. That's the chumrah. You say ad v'loyad b'chlau. You impose the chumrah. But as it relates to the asara, which from 5 until 10 is tameh, if the 10 is going to be kilamayla, it's going to be a kula. Thus we say that the asara is kilamata, you go l'chumra. Meaning at first glance it's a stira. Chamisha kilamayla and asara kilamata, is it ad v'ad b'chlal or is ad v'loyad b'chlal? It's the same Mishnah. Mishnah said ad chamisha, ad asara. The Teretz is like what the Gemara is coming out right now. That really, whether or not you say ad v'ad b'chlal or ad v'loyad b'chlal is totally in what the chumra is. L'chumra, you say ad v'loyad b'chlal, l'chumra you say ad v'ad b'chlal. Rav Nachman said in our Mishnah, ad v'loyad b'chlal l'chumra. But if in the context of the Mishnayos and Masechtas Kelim, or depending on which part of the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim as it relates to the rope that's dangling, you're always going to go l'chumra. Just one interesting thing that's worth mentioning. So at first glance, a very interesting halacha. In the olden days, there were ropes that they used to tie around the bottom of the bed, and sometimes it was leftover rope. And the question is, that leftover rope, do you look at it as part of the bed, it's for Kabbal Tumah, or do you not look at it? Says the Mishnah that really you have to measure the rope. If it's up to five tefachim, so then it's going to be tar. It's not going to be mekabel tumah. If it's between 5 and 10 tefachim, then it's mekabel tumah. If it's more than 10 tefachim, okay, so shiurim are always halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But this sounds like it has a little bit of a, it sounds like it has a little bit of a hesber. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says something very interesting. Sok Rashi. Less than 5 tefachim is tahar, because there's no ishtabshus, there's nothing you can do with it. I mean, there's nothing you can do with it, it's a davar katan, even though you would think if it's so small and so insignificant, maybe it should be bottled to the bed, that's not the way we look at it. We look at it as something that's very insignificant, it has no chashivas at all, and in tum, if something has no chashivas, it's not mekabel tumah. From 5 until 10, the reason it is mekabel tumah is because there's a ishtamshus for it. What's the ishtamshus? Rashi, on the bottom of Nundal Amad Beis, Dibra Maskel, Loi Chamisha Kilomayla. Middle of the Rashi. Sheboi Koishrin Es HaPsochem Zeichel HaPesach Mitzrayim. Because the Yidin, it's interesting, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they would tie their carbon Pesach, before Pesach, to the foot of their bed. They did it zeichel Pesach Mitzrayim. It's Pesukim in the Torah that Hashem told the Yidden in Mitzrayim that they had to take the Seh, the Shepsalah, that they were going to bring us the Karban Pesach, and they had to tie it to the bed. And this was a suicide mission because the Seh was the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim, and this was Mishchu Yetchem, the Avodah Zarah, Ukulach and Tzoyin Mitzvah, part of the Nisim and the Flois that took place when the Yidden left Mitzrayim. But this was a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch of Pesach Mitzrayim, the Karban Pesach that was brought in Mitzrayim, which was very, very different than all the other Pesachim that would ever be brought. Number one, a Karban Pesach had to be brought in Eretz Yisrael. This is a Karban Pesach that was being brought in Mitzrayim. There was no Mishkan, there was no Beis Hamikdash. This was a, the Zrikas were different. This was a whole different type of Karban Pesach. But the bottom line is that the Yidden brought a Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim. One of the halachas of Pesach Mitzrayim was Bechi Pazlin, right? But one of the halachas was is they had to tie it to the bed. So even though there was no such halacha, but the Yidden would always do this. So if you have a rope dangling from your bed and it's between 5 and 10 tefachim, so you have what to do with it. What you do with it is you can use it. And Rashi says, what's the makar to this minik dechsev? Isru chag bavoysim at karnes amizbeach. So what does isru chag bavoysim at karnes amizbeach mean? This is a remez. Isru is miloshen to tie. Matir asurim. Isru chag. They would take the carbon of the chag and they would tie it. Where would they tie it? The bed. That's what this is referring to. They would tie it to the beds, and from here you have a makar to this minig of Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's what this Mishnah Masechtas Kelim Sof Rashi is predicated on. It's predicated on the fact that this is what they used to do, and as a result, if the rope is between 5 and 10 tefachim, you have what to, if it's less than 5 tefachim, it's too short to tie the carbon Pesach. Between 5 and 10 tefachim, you can use it for the carbon. What about if it's more than 10 tefachim? So then Rashi is really too long, you're going to end up cutting it. And being that you end up cutting it, we don't look at it as part of the bed, and weiter the halach is, it's going to be itar. Incidentally, the pashup shan and the pasuk of isru chag bad voisim at karnes mizbech doesn't mean that. Pashup, what it means is that the yidden, when they would go up to be other regal, so they would take their karbonis with them. They would take the karbon achag and they would tie it like on a leash, and they would bring it at karnes mizbech. Right? Not they were tying it to the karnes mizbech, but they would bring it to the karnes mizbech. They would bring it to the mizbech, and that's where they would bring a karbon. This is also the makar to the idea of isru chag. Right, the day after Yontif has a shtikl kedusha. In fact, Ramah says in Hilchos Pesach in Simin Tov Chof Tes, v'noyagin laharbois k'tzas ba'achila v'shtiyah b'yoyim achar achag. It's actually a Yontif. There's a minig laharbois k'tzas a little bit ba'achila v'shtiyah the day after Yontif. V'hu isruchag, and it's what we know as isruchag, and it's learned out from this pasuk isruchag ba'voisim. There's a concept of isruchag. There, it's the day that's isru to the chag, that's attached on some level to the chag. Either way, a very interesting Rashi. Zok the Gemara weiter. So the Mishnah said, nitel hatchoil. If the spleen of the animal was removed, so even though it sounds like a treifa, it's not. It's actually one of the eluk sheris bebehema. The animal would not be considered a treifa. Amr Rabba Avir Mishmei the Rabba Avir is in the name of Rabba Leitcha Anol Nitel. That's only true if it was completely removed. Avol Nikev. But if it has a neck of treifa, it's going to be a treifa. If that's the case, why wasn't it mentioned in our Mishnah? Mishnah says eluk treifas bebehema. The first Mishnah on that mem days, you have a new treifa. Rabba Avir said that even though Nitel hatchoil is not a treifa, but Nikev hatchoil is a treifa. So the truth is, this is one of the Shev Shmeitzes. This is one of the Shev Shmeitzes that we had in that Membeis on Membeis that have been mentioned already a few times, and that is Nikev Atchayl was a trait. Masra Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Abba Vitev Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Zvido Chaytich Me'ubar Shevim Me'el Muter Bachilo. So the context over there is the halachas of Ben Pekua, which is discussed in an entire parak here in Masechtas Chulin, parak Behema HaMekasha. That's the next parak. You have some time until we get there, but it's the next parak in Masechtas Chulin, very lomdish parak. And the context over there was discussing where there was an animal that was a Mu'uberes. She had an Uber inside of her. And somebody stuck his hand into the womb of the animal and cut the animal. So the question is, the animal, meaning the uber, how does it impact now when you go and shecht the mother, being that you had cut the uber, does the uber still become mutter with the shechita of the mother, like the halacha of a ben pekua? Like the halacha of Behema HaMekasha, or does it not? That's the context. Either way, so the Mishnah over there says, Choytech mi ober b'shem me'eo, mutter b'achilo. The halacha is, it's all going to be mutter b'achilo. Menat choyl, menat kloyes. If, however, we cut some of the choyl and the kloyes of an animal, aser b'achilo, the halacha is, it's aser b'achilo. And it sounds like that what's aser b'achilo is the choyl and the kloyes. Again, the first part of the Mishnah is discussing the halachas of Ben Pekur. The second part of the Mishnah is discussing a regular Behema, where somebody cut part of the choyl, part of the spleen of the animal, when a kloy is part of the kidneys of the animal, the halacha is also b'achila. Again, it sounds like the tchoil and the kloya is the asa b'achila. Why would there be asa b'achila? Because if the animal's alive and you cut a piece of animal off it, it's eva menachai. It sounds like there's only an eva menachai issue. Ha-behema gufa sharia. But it sounds like the behema itself is good. Why is it good? It's a pasuk you're going to tell me. Why not? It's not a trefa. The Mishnah says, elu ksheris be-behema nitel ha-tchoil. Let's focus on the spleen. If the spleen is removed, it's not a trefa. Okay, so if you cut the spleen, it's also not a problem. But if Rabbi Avir is gerecht, it's one of the Shev Shmaitzes, that even though if you remove the spleen completely, there the halach is, it's not a trefa. But if you puncture the spleen, it is a trefa. Then if you puncture it, it's a trefa. If you cut it in half, it's certainly going to be a trefa. So how could it be that if you remove part of the spleen, the halach is aser b'achila, the spleen is aser, because of Eva Menachai, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, it's mashma, ha behema gufa sharia, l'chari, the whole behema should be a problem. Because now the behema is a treifas. Even if you do a shechita afterwards, it's not going to be good. So the word says, really, the behema is aser. So why does the Mishnah say it in a very misleading way? The Mishnah says, aser b'achila, it sounds like the spleen is aser b'achila. I did a ton of reshim. But the b'achila being that the reshim wanted to say that when you're chaytech from the uber, in the womb of the mother, even the piece that you cut becomes mutar b'achila when you do the shechita later on the mother. So there the focus is on the piece that you cut. So tana nami seifa asa b'achila. So in the seifa we use the same language, despite the fact that it's misleading. Because in reality, according to Rav Avira, it's not only the piece of the tchoil that was cut off the animal that's going to be asa b'achila. The entire animal is going to be asa b'achila. Because even though nitel ha-tchoil, if you remove the spleen, the animal's not a trefa. But if you puncture the spleen, and certainly if you sever it, you cut a piece of it off, it's going to be a trefa. Ibai say, but the Gemara says a chiddush. Nikiv l'chud v'nechtav l'chud. It could be there's a difference between a puncture and between if it completely ruptured. Rav Avira said if there was a hole in it, that's when it's going to be a trefa. But if you cut a piece of it off, maybe it's not going to be a trefa. So if you remove the spleen, the halach is it's not a trefa. According to Ibai Yisema, even if you slice it in half, it's not a trefa. But if there's a neck given the spleen, then it is going to be a trefa. Nitlu hakloyes, the Mishnah said that if the kidneys of the animal were removed, it's eluk sheris bebehema. The truth is, at first glance, it sounds very tzarechian. How's it possible for an animal to live without kidneys? It sounds like a very big chiddush. There's actually a fascinating note in the art scroll, if you want to take a look, about a study that was done, Ayin Shom. But either way, says the Gemara, Omar Rochish Bar Papa, it's a Rochish Bar Papa of Hadron fame, said Mishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav, Loksa B'kul Yachas, if one of the kidneys of the animal became sick, trefa, it's going to be a trefa. So even though the Tan of the Mishnah is saying that if the kidneys were removed, the animal's not a trefa, but if the animal has its kidney, but it's luxa, it's diseased, it's sick, it's not well, that's a problem, and then the animal's going to be a trefa. Ami b'marava, in marava, they said, that's only true if this illness in the kidney went l'makim charetz, to the part where there's like a little bit of a hole. What part of the kidney is that in? It's l'chevar, it's the white part of the kidney, the tusi masni, that's underneath the loins of the animal. If you have a picture, picture's worth a thousand words. Amrav Nuchunya, Shaltenu, Lekulu Trufay, the Marav. I spoke to all the experts in Treifus and Eretz Yisrael. Va'amruli, and they told me, Hilchas Agarachish Bar Papa, that the Lachas Agarachish Bar Papa, that even though the Mishnah says that if an animal lost its kidneys, it's not considered a treifa, but if the kidney was simply diseased, then it would be a problem. Additionally, they told me, that loch is not like Rabbi Avira. Rabbi Avira said that even though the Mishnah says, nita la tchoil is not a treifa, it's kosher, but if there's a nekem in the tchoil, it would be a treifa. So, hilchas akarachish bar papa, but v'leis hilchas akarab avira. And the Gemara says, v'lei amoran, this that we said, leis hilchas akarab avira, meaning a puncture in the spleen doesn't make the animal a treifa, that's only beklusha. That's only if the puncture happened on the thinner side of the spleen. Avo besumche, again, if you have a picture, if it was on the thicker side, treifa, it's going to be a treifa. V'yishtayir baka ividinezav cheren. Even if it was on the thicker side, the only time it's a puncture is if it went deep enough that the part that's not punctured, the thickness of the spleen that wasn't punctured, is thick enough, like a dinar zahav. But if it went in further than a dinar zahav, it's only then it's going to be a problem. Meaning if it's on the thin side, it's not a treifa, because leis hilchas akarab avira. It's only when it's on the thick side that we're chayish for Rav Avira. And even on the thick side, it's only if it went so deep that lo yishtayir dinar zahav. But if it was a shtayir dinar zahav, even if it's on the thick side, it's going to be kosher. Amri b'marav, kol apoysel b'reya, kosher b'kolya, rule of thought. Anything that's considered a treifa when this incident happened to the reya, to the lungs, would by definition be kosher bekulya if the same exact thing happened to the kidneys. How do you know that? Shari nekev, possible reya. Because a nekev is possible reya. I mean, that's treifus 101. The kosher bekulya. But if you have a nekev in the kulya, the kidneys, it's going to be kosher. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, kosher nekev, the kosher reya, kosher bekulya, right? Should come out. Back of the envelope arithmetic. There's a basic kal v'chaymer that anything that's kosher with the reya is kosher in the kulya. If you tell me that anything that's possible by the reya is kosher by the kulya, then l'chayra, if something is kosher by the reya, kal v'chaymer, it should be kosher by the kulya. Maskev l'rav tan chuma, v'klolo, who is that true? V'arei mugla, pas, the kosher b'reya, u'pasel b'kulya, says the Gemara. Additionally, v'arei mayim zakin, d'ksherim hacha v'hacha, and mayim zakin, pure water, that's in the lungs or in the kidneys, are kosher. Okay, that's not a kasha. Rashi says, well, yadana my kushya. I don't know what the kasha is with that. The kasha we're trying to bring out is that we said that if something's possible in the reya, it's kasher in the kolya. So kal v'chaymer, if it's kasher in the reya, it has to be kasher in the kolya. Okay, problem is mugla. Mugla is kasher in the reya, and it's possible by the kolya. That's a kasha. The fact that mayim zachin is kasher here and kasher there is neither here nor there. That has nothing to do with the kasha. Rashi acknowledges that. Either way, says the Gemara, Elam Ravashi. So Ravashi said, Trefis komadamis la'adadi. You can't make kabochomers when it comes to trefis. There's no such halacha. That's regarding the Tzemes Agidin, as we're going to see in the coming dafit. But the point is that when it comes to trefis, this is one of the big rules. You can't compare one trefis to another trefis. Notice, what's the Gemara saying? When they said in my rabba a rule called apoysel bereya, kasha bekulya, you can't make a kabochomers from that. That's a true statement. We're not reneging that statement. That's a true statement. If something is pasul bereya, that means it's kosher bekulya. So a nekev is pasul bereya, a sircha is pasul bereya. That's because of the nekev. So all these things would be kosher bekulya. But you would think on the meat of kal v'chaymer that if it's kosher bereya, kal v'chaymer has to be kosher bekulya. No, ad kan. That we don't say. Because in Oimrim, you can't use the Yud Gimel Midas Shatayr Nidresh Hashem. You can't even use logic. You cannot make any logical connection between one halacha and another halacha. As tempting as it sometimes may be when it comes to the laws of Trefis, because Trefis come Nidamis Lahadadi, when it comes to Trefis, you can't make these cheshbonim. Says the Gemara, Mayim Zakin, Ksherin, we said that if there's Mayim Zakin, either in the Reya or in the Kulya, it's not going to be a problem. Lo Yamaron, that's only true. Elo Detzili, that's only if it's clear Mayim Zakin. Avachiri, but if it's a little dirty Trefis, Avachitzili, Nami Lo Yamaron, even if it's clear, it's only true. Elo Sariach, if it doesn't smell, Avo Sariach, if the water is spoiled, Trefis. Hakulya Shektina, the kidney that shriveled, so it became smaller. So it seems like it's a problem, but really it depends on how small it became. Bidak, if we're dealing with the behemadaka ad kapul, it would have to be up to a pull. A pull is a beam. Ad va'ad b'chlal, ad v'loyad b'chlal. Because if it's a larger animal, ad kanova beninus, it would have to be the size of a medium-sized grape in order for it to pose a problem. The Mishnah said some have this girsa, some don't have the girsa. We'll learn it. Nita lechi hatachtoin. So if the animal lost its lower jaw, it's still kosher. I'm Reb Zeira. That's only true if the animal can still eat. That's in short what Reb Zeira said. Lo yishanu elu shechel lichi zayi de litvamro. If you could stop food down the animal's throat, even though it can't chew because it doesn't have its lechi atachtoin, then it's from the eluk sheiris bebehema. But if it can't eat, then it's going to be chayv. Nitla em shlof. The animal lost its uterus. Tano hi ha'em, hi tarpachas, hi shalfuches. These are all words that you find in Perik Elu Trefis, no less, to describe the uterus of an animal. And even though sometimes Chazal use this word, sometimes they use that word, it's really all the same. The charusa v'deisha mayim kshero. The Mishnah said that if the animal was charusa, Bidesha Mayan, so the lungs of the animal shriveled. So the halacha is that it's going to be kosher, but only if it happened Bidesha Mayan. That's a very obvious diak. It has to be Charusa Bidesha Mayan. What happens if it was Charusa Bidei Adam? Then it's going to be a treifa. How come it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah? It's one of the Shef Shmaitza. So one of the Shef Shmaitza was also Charusa B'dei Adam. So if the lungs shrivel, it really depends on how it happened. If it happened B'dei Shemayim, it's going to be kosher. If it happened B'dei Adam, it's going to be a Tanu Rabban, Ezeu Charusa. What's the definition of Charusa Kosher? Tzomka Reya Shala. The Halach is the Reya, if it became smaller. B'dei Shemayim Shev, B'dei Adam Treif. Shimon was Omer, Shimon was said, Af B'dei Kol HaBriyas. Even if it happened through one of the other Briyas. Rashi says, for example, if it happened Al Yedeya Shagas Aryeh, the roar of a lion. So if it happened by a lion scared the animal, and as a result, the reya shriveled, veer too, what? So Shimon didn't explain. Again, what did the Brisa say? Ezeu charusa. Koshin tzumka reya shala. The lungs shriveled. Okay, that's the easy part. If it happened bidei shamayim, it's going to be kosher. If it happened bidei adam, a person caused it to happen, then it's going to be a treifa. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, af bidei kol abriyos, ibay luhu. Rav Shimon Elazar, a reisha koyu, lukul, is going on the reisha, that bidei shamayim is kosher. So too, if it happened via another animal, a yasefa koyu lukumro, or is he going on the sefer? The sefer said if it happened bidei adam, it's going to be a treifa. Af bidei kol adam, there too, it's also going to be a treifa. Says the Gemara Tashma, the time learned to the price of Kharusa bidei adam, treifa. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, af bidei kol habriyos, treifa. So you see clearly, the Rav Shimon Elazar went lachomer. Rabba bar bar chana have a kazal b'midbar. Rabba chana was once going in the midbar. Ashka chani dichri did some kreya to do. He saw rams who Reya had shriveled. Also, shol de midrasha. He went to base medrash. Amrule, they told him that there's a way to see how this shrivel happened, so that we can know if it happened bidei shamayim or bidei adam, so that we can know if it's from the shev shmeitz of elu treifis bebehema, or if it's from the mishnah daf nadal of an aleph elu cheres bebehema. So there's a little experiment we can do, and we're going to be able to figure this out. They told him like this: bekaita, this is during the summer. I see mishichli chevari. You take a white earthenware keli, malinu mayakriri. You fill it up with cold water. Vanchinu meislei. You live it there for 24 hours. Ihadrin barian. If it comes back to its strength, meaning it expands, it becomes healthy again. Bidei shamayim, it's a sign that it's bidei shamayim. Ukshera, it's not going to be a treifa. Ve'iloi, if not treifa. Besisu, if this is going down in the winter. Aisi mishichli shichumi, then you have to take a black earthenware keli. Umalinu mayabshuri, you fill it up now with cold water. Now it has to be with warm water, lukewarm water. Vanchirme, slice again, you leave it there for 24 hours. Ihadra bari ukshera, if it comes back to its health, its kach, ve'iloi treifa, it's going to be a treifa. Hagluta. The Mishnah said, an animal that was flayed, meaning it was skinned. You have an animal, it's alive, but doesn't have its skin, and you want a shechta now. So the question is, because it doesn't have its skin, is that a reason that it should be considered a treifa or not? So it's machleik is in the Mishnah. Rameir said it's going to be kosher. The Chachamim poislim, and the Chachamim said that it's going to be pasul. Zok the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, Hagluda, Rameir, Machshir, Chachamim poislim, Mikvar Heira, Lazar Safra, V'yoichram ben Gudgada, Al Hagluda, Shepsula. There were Tanoim that were made, that they had a Mesoira, that an animal that's a Gluda is a pasul. Not like Rameir in the Mishnah who was Machshir, but like the Chachamim in the Mishnah that were poislim. Amr, Shimon Elazar, Shimon Elazar said, Chazoi Rameir. The Rameir was Chayzer. You should know, I heard that Rameir was Chayzer. Says the Gemara, Michal, Rav Shimon Elazar, Polig Rameir, but Gluda. It sounds like Rav Shimon Elazar holds that there's a Machloikas Rameir in the Chachamim. It's just Rav Shimon Elazar said that I heard that Rameir was Chayzer. Even though Rameir in the Mishnah was Machshir, he came around. But the Gemara says, that's true. Does Rav Shimon Elazar hold that there was even a Machloikas in the Mishnah? What do you mean? The Mishnah says there was a Machloikas, Rameir in the Chachamim. Yeah, but we have information that Rav Shimon Elazar, who's a Tana, was Polig on the Mishnah. He held there was never even a Machloikas between Rameir and the Chachamim. What's this brisa? What's this information? V'atanya, Rav Shimon Elazar, loy nechleku Rameir v'chachamim ala gluda shapsula. Pretty straightforward, right? Rav Shimon Elazar said there was no machlokes. So how could Rav Shimon Elazar say that Rameir was chayzer? Rameir was chayzer suggests there's a machlokes. But Rameir said, you know what, Chachamim, you're right. I'm going to be chayzer. But here Rav Shimon Elazar said mefurish, loy nechleku Rameir v'chachamim al gudish absolut. And the brisa continues agav and says v'kfar heid Rav Ishi ben Ishi Rav Yudah ha'basim within Rav Yakiv v'shum Rav Tarfon al gudish absolut. But either way, as it relates to Rav Shimon Elazar, here Rav Shimon Elazar says chazavay Rameir, which suggests that there was a machlokes. Here Rav Shimon Elazar says lo nechleku Rameir v'chachamim al gudish absolut. Says the Gemara v'im nishtay bar kasela Kshera. We'll get back to that in a minute. Amram Nachman by Yitzchak. My loy nechleku. What does Rav Shimon Elazar mean when he said loy nechleku loy amad Rameir b'machlukasa? It's the same Rav Shimon Elazar. I thought Rav Shimon Elazar holds it was a machlokes. That's why he said chazabay Rameir. Rameir was chayzer. Because he once argued with the Chacham, then he changed his mind. When the Rav Shimon Elazar said in the Braisa loy nechleku, what he meant to say was loy amad b'machlukasa. He didn't hold his position. But rather he was chayzer to the Chacham. Either way, this Braisa, again, discussed the halacha of a behemoth that's a gluda, an animal that was flayed of its skin. Machloikas Rameir in the Chachamim, Shimon Elazar said that Chazabai Rameir, loy omad b'machlukoisai, but b'derech agav, the Braisa threw in a halacha that it's possible that an animal that's skinned, almost completely, should still be kosher. What did the Braisa say? Im nishtayir boi kesela, kshera. Those were the five words we said we're going to get back to. But im nishtayir boi kesela, said the animal was flayed. We're going according to the Chachamim. Rav Shimon Elazar holds, even Rameir now holds, that it's a problem. The animal's a treifa. But if you have a little bit of skin left over, it's a big animal. You have a little bit of skin. How much? A selas worth of skin. That would be enough for the animal to be kosher. What exactly does that mean is going to be the subject of the Gemara from here until the end of the daf. Omar, mar. Im nishtayber kisal luk sheheicha. Where does that seller's worth of, not worth, seller's size, usually when it's a seller, it's worth. Where does the seller's size of skin have to be? Omar, Rav Yehuda mat Shmuel. So Shmuel said, al pnei ha-shedra kulo, it has to be on the spine. It has to be on the spine. That's where it has to be. So if you have a seller's size of skin on some other part of the body, that's not going to be enough. It has to be on the shed. Iba'ilu, what does that mean? The arich v'katan doesn't mean that it could be very, very narrow. I mean, it could be a narrow strip of skin that goes along the entire length of the spine, meaning it's arich, it's long, because it goes down the entire spine, but it's also cut in, it's very narrow. The point is, and the reason it's like a sella is because if you add up all the space, you add up the entire skin, what you end up with is a sella. Maybe it has to actually be the width of a sella. It has to cover the entire spine. It's two different shiurim. When we say it has to be sella, is it two things? It has to be the width of a sella and has to go all the way down the entire spine. So it's going to be the width of a sella from top to bottom, and it's going to cover the entire spine. Well, that's not what it means. It's really one thing. What it is it has to be equal to a sella, but it could be very, very narrow. It doesn't have to be the width of a sella. It just has to add up to a sella. If you took the long strip of skin, you turned it into a little circle, it would end up being the size of a sella. And just so it happens to have to be on which part of the body? On the shedra part, but it doesn't have to cover the entire shed. Tashma, the parashah, the roi, mishmei, the shmul, b'roichav kesela, apnei shedra kul, the more chomer shita. That would have to be b'roichav kesela, have to be the width of a cell, it has to cover the entire shed. Either way, that's the first pshat. Shmuel said, what does it mean if it's an shtayer cell, it's not going to be a treifa? After the Gemara's second beer in it, it means that it's on the Shedra. Again, what does that mean? The width of the Sela, and it covers the entire Shedra of the animal. Rabbi Barbachano, Amar Rashi Prokin. No, it's not enough that it's on the Shedra, but rather it has to be on all the Rashi Prokin. So Rashi explains, it doesn't mean all the Rashi Prokin of the animal, all the major joints and organs of the animal. But what it means is, Bechol Pirkei Chul Yoseh, on all its vertebrae, Va'atzmai Sashuk Va'yarech, and on its thigh bones and on its knee. Being a chir kasella, that's where it has to. You need a size of a cella on each one of those specific roshei prokim. Rabbi Loza ben Antignos, Mishum Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Yana, Yama Mokam Tiburay, on its navel, also known as the belly button. Boy, Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Shmuel, Nitel Mokam, Hashedra, Vukulei Kayim. Interesting shayla. What would be if the animal only lost its skin on the Mokam Hashedra, but all the other skin is there? I mean, you see, there's a chashivus, according to Shmuel, for the skin that's on the shedra. Because the animal could have no skin, but all it has is the skin on the shedra, it's going to be kosher. So what if it's in the reverse? What if it lost the skin on the shedra, but it has all the other skin? Or nitl makim tibure, according to that mandam of kulikayim. Or nitl rashi prag, according to that mandam of kulikayim. Mai, what's the halacha teku? Amara, a fourth sheet, the kala ur kule matzal begluda, chutz mi arbeis haprasleis. When the brisa said that im nishtayr by kaselik shera, for an animal that's gluda, you don't need it to be on the shedra, you don't need it to be on makim tibure, you don't need it to be on the rashi prag, it could be anywhere. Rav said it doesn't matter where it is, it's always going to be kosher. It's a fourth shita. There's just one place that it can't be. Chutz mi arbeis haprasleis. It can't be by the animal's hooves. What exactly that means is in and of itself a discussion in Rishonim. Rabbi Yechanan says, afilo arbeis haprasleis nami matzo. No. Any skin that's the size of a cella, even if it's by the arbeis haprasleis, that's the fifth shita, that's going to be matzel. Is it matzel? So we just said Rabbi Yechanan shita. Amale. And that's what he said. Matzel. It's going to be matzel. Amale. So Rav Asi told Rabbi Yechanan, the Madatonu Rabbeinu, didn't you once teach us? The Mishnah says at the end of the Masechta, Eilu Sheirei Seyem Kifsaron. The context over there is we know that a nevela is also b'achila, and a nevela also contracts tumma. There's something called tumas nevela. That's one of the fundamental differences between a nevela and a treifa. A treifa, although it's asa b'achila, but meaning that it had a kasha shchita, it's not tame. There's no tumas nevela. A nevela never had a kasha shchita. As a result, it's also going to be tame. So the Mishnah discusses, what about the ur, the skin of an animal? Does the skin of an animal have tumas nevela? The skin of a nevela, or not? So the Mishnah says, some yes, some not. So Elu Shayresayim Kipsaron, and it mentions over there, ur beis haprasleis, that the ur of the beis haprasleis by the animal's hooves is Kiv Saron, and you see, thus it's going to have Tumas Nevela. What's the kasha? If it's Kiv Saron, then it shouldn't be Matzel in this halacha. We're discussing it. We need skin. The animal was skin. So if there's a little bit of skin in Nishtayr by Kisela, that's going to be enough for it to be okay. Said Rabbi Yochanan, even if it's by the Arbeis HaProses. So Rav Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan, Limadatonu Rabbeinu, Rebbe, you associate yourself. Because you yourself taught us a Mishnah, and happens to be a Mishnah that we have in Masechta Schul in the end of the Masechta, that the Ur of the Beis HaProses is treated like Basar. If regards to Tumas Nevela, if it's Basar, then it's not Ur. Which one is it? Is it Basar or Ur? Basar is flesh, Ur is skin. So obviously there's something about the physical nature of it that's confusing us a little bit. It's very soft, rashy, it's tender, whatever. But the point is that as it relates to the halacha, we're not sure. So you can't have it both ways. It can't be Basar and Ur. So here you have a Mishnah later in the Masechta Schulim that says this Tumas Nevela, which means it's Basar, because the Ur of a behemoth doesn't have Tumas Nevela. It's only the Basar of a behemoth that has Tumas Nevela. And here you're telling me that it's Matzel. Amalezi told him, Al takni teni, don't ask me such a kasha. Shebeloshen yochid ani shayno. He said, that Mishnah of Elu Sherisayim Kivsaran, it's true I said Ur Beis HaProses, but it's a Das Yachid. I'm paskin that way. Here, when I'm telling you with regards to the halachas of Treifas and Gluda, this I'm telling you halacha l'maisa. Time we learn to the Brayis, v'ashoichid, that's ha'oilo. La'ak t'gzayis me'osha ta'chaz ha'aliyah. If somebody shechts a carbon oilo, and he had a mind to be makter, a kezayis of the Ur, that's underneath the tail of the animal, chutzum kaimai. If he had a machshava chutzum kaimai, to eat the basar chutzum kaimai, to be, well, you can't eat the basar of an oilo, to be makter, chutzum kaimai, to do the, so the halacha is, pasal they make karts, chutzes, manoi pigo, v'chayav an olav karis, aliyaz ben Yehuda ish ivlim, amam yishum rabbi yak, v'chinai Reb Shimon ben Yehuda ish ikus oimem mishum Reb Shimon echad arbeis haproses. It doesn't matter if the machshava was regarding the arbeis haproses. This is the part of this that we're going to need. Echad arshal roish shel egal arach, or the ar of the head of an egal arach. Echad arshal tachas alayu, the ar that's underneath the tail of the animal. Chol shemar ucham gabi tuma elos reis and kifsarim, and so to all the parts of an animal, where the Chachamim said that even the Ur is considered kibsarim with regards to Tumas Nevela, lahavi Ur Aboshes, the rabbis the Ur of Oisei Makloim by a female animal, that loch is chutzim kaimet pasam eme karis, chutzim mani pigal v'chayavan ol karis. What do you see from there? What we need from there is one thing. We know, we're familiar with the halacha of pickle. We don't have to chazer that. The halacha is that if someone, a kohen, would have a machshava to be makter the basar of an oilo, chutzim mani, chutzim kaimet, so the carbon would now become pickle. What if he had a mind to be makter the Ur of a noyla chutzlazana chutzim kaimai? Of course it wouldn't be pigal. You have to be makter davashadarka lahakter. And even though an oyla is kulay kalal, but that's a little bit of a misnomer. It's all the basar that was kalal, but they used to skin the animal, have shit nituach, and the ur actually went to the kayhanim. The kayhanim were able to have anah from a chelik of the carbon oyla. The fact that you could, the ur of other karbanos went to the kayhanim is all learned out from the carbon oyla. So the ur of the oyla never went on the carbon. So if a kayhan would have a machshava to be makter the ur of an oyla chutzlazana chutzim kaimai, of course it wouldn't be a machsheves pigel. So what do you have over here? We have Reb Shimon, Reb Yaakov, and Reb Shimon ben Yehuda ish ikus, Mishum Reb Shimon, who's saying a halacha that if a kohen had a machsheva to be makter the Ur Beis HaProses, chutzes mani chutzem kaimai, it would be a machsheves pigel. Clearly suggesting that the Ur Beis HaProses is treated like basa. Okay, so you have a shita that the Ur of the Beis HaProses is like, but who said it? Is this the shita of Chachamim? No, this is a Das Yachid or a Das Shnayim. But it's a Yachid, it's not a Rabbin, right? That's the point. So it's a Das Yachid, it's Rabbi Yochanan said it's true. The Mishnah in the end of Masechta Schulim, this is Gishmak. This says, Elu Sha'oirei Seyem Kivsaron. And it says, Ur Beis HaProses. I told you that Mishnah, Chevra. But when I told it to you, I was being shown to Das Yochid. I was saying, Ov Eliezer ben Yehuda ish Ivlin, who said in the name of Rabbi Yaakov. And by the way, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda ish Ikus used to also say in the name of Reb Shimon. But it all traces itself to a Yochid, quote unquote, who said that as it relates to Machshavah's Pigel, a Kayin that was had a Machshavah to be Makta, the Ur Beis HaProses, Chutzes Man, Chutzem Kamin, it's going to be Pigel. Vaislois, it's Basar, if it's Basar, as it relates to Tumas Nevela, it's also going to be considered Basar. But the halacha, that's not the case. Because we don't paskin like the Yachid. Yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. What is it, la halacha? It's not Basar. La halacha, it's Ur. La halacha, it's not Tomei Tumas Nevela. La halacha, you can't have a machsheves pigle to be makter the Ur Beis HaProses, chutzes mani, chutzem kaimai. Because not Basar. It's not a dovish atark of a hakter. Because the Ur of the oil didn't go on the Mizbeach. If it's not Basar, it's Ur. Or if it's Ur, then there's no reason it shouldn't be matzel. Because Rabbi Yochanan holds that it doesn't matter where the Ur, it doesn't have to be on the Shedra or on the Rosh Prakim or on Tivurai. It could be any part of the animal. The halacha is Ur. That's the size of an Isar, would have the ability to be matzel. Exhale. So just before we conclude, I thought it's kedai to go back to some of the raid that we spoke about yesterday. So, you know, yesterday we talked a little bit about a contemporary halachic shaila that's very much related to Elu Treifas, which seems to have evolved from a more general shaila to a shaila that affects Chalav Stam or Chalav companies a little bit more pointedly. And that is, there's a certain procedure that's done rather often for animals that are being raised commercially, and that is animals that suffer from what's called a displaced abomasum, DA, or a left displaced abomasum, an LDA, where because of the foods that are being stuffed into the animal, so the abomasum, that's the fourth stomach, the cave will sometimes slip out of place, and there are times where the veterinarian, the roife, has to do some sort of invasive procedure to be able to make the abomasum go back into place. The invasive procedure sometimes involves making a hole in the cava. A neck of in the cava is a trefa, and even though they're going to stitch the animal up, and it's going to be marich yomim v'shanim, it's going to produce a lot of milk and do whatever it's supposed to do, it doesn't matter. The halacha is, a nekev in the trefa is one of the yudches trefas that the Mishnah mentions in Perikeo trefas and chulun, daf min beizam and aleph. And because of that, a big tumult arose, and that is, are you allowed to drink the milk of such an animal? Why not? Because the Gemara says in Masechtas B'chayres, da'avavah min beiz, kol ha'yotzim min ha'tameh tameh, that just like you're not allowed to eat the meat of an animal that's not kosher, or a kosher animal that's a trefa, so too you're not allowed to drink the milk of anything that's a davar tameh. If that's the case, so there was a big shaila that arose, that l'chaira, how are you allowed to drink milk? Why aren't we concerned that the milk that we're drinking came from an animal that had this procedure done? And supposedly, somewhere between 5 and 15%, that's where Belsky writes in his tshuva, the OU on their website say somewhere between 1 and 9%, whatever the number is, there is a significant amount of animals that suffer from this condition called DA or LDA. Many of them, or if not most of them, are treated with an invasive procedure of some sort. If that's the case, there's a decent amount of milk that's floating around, that's in circulation, that came from an animal, that's a treif. Based on that, you shouldn't be able to drink the milk. So you're going to tell me, what's the problem? Called the parish, meruba parish. Everyone knows the halacha. You always go baser raiv, and this is halacha 101. But the reason it's not so pashid is because today, milk is manufactured commercially. And as a result, we have thousands and millions of gallons of milk that are all Nesarev. But the Nesarev, literally in one big vat, once you have a taruvos of lach belach in one specific, one contained area, so now already one is nois and tam into the other. And based on that, you have to come out to Shishin. Meaning, the only time you can be mevatel a taruvos lach belach is if you have 60 times heter keneged iser. To have 60 times heter keneged iser, you would need that the iser should represent 1.63% of the entire taruvos. If this procedure is being done 5 to 15% of the time, or 1 to 9% of the time, it can't be soimich on a Shishin. It doesn't sound like there's a Shishin. So if there's no Shishin, based on that, l'chur, you would have a very big problem. That's what we spoke about yesterday, and we mentioned that Rabbi Belsky and his in a famous tshuva was matter. He held it was very, very poshit. He thought the whole kasha was a very big mistake. People argued with Rabbi Belsky, but that was, at the very least, Rabbi Belsky's psak, and all the hashkacha organizations in the United States essentially follow Rabbi Belsky's psak or similar psakim, and they're matter. Thus, you'll find OUD or Chafkd or OKD, start whatever it is. It all comes from this idea that at the end of the day, there are svaras to be made. Now, one thing that we didn't make clear yesterday that's worth mentioning, and that is that even though there's a suffix trefus issue, it's just important to realize that this trefus issue is a shail of trefus de rabbanim. It's not a shail of trefus de raisa. And the reason is because even though when you have a taruvas lach belach, you need shishim of het to connect the iser in order for it to be mutter, but the halach of shishim, when the taruvas is min b'minai, is only din de rabbanim. Meaning we paskin that min b'minay is batal b'roiv. It's only midrabanan that you need shishim. So if you have a taruvos of two completely different things, min b'she'enay minay. So there the halach is tam kikah d'raisa. And if tam kikah d'raisa, as long as you don't have shishim keneged the iser, we assume the iser is noisein tam. These are sugis in the second part of Masechtas Chulin, which Mitzvah will learn bar chava. But for now, tam ke'ikar, min b'she'enay minay is Adin Dairaisa. As a result, if you don't have Shishin, you have over here a Taruvais of Issa Dairaisa. But when you have Min B'minai is Batal Midairaisa Beroiv. The fact that you need Shishin is only Adin Dairabon. So we're not discussing Adin Dairaisa. What we're discussing is Adin Dairabonan. And really, it's based on that fact that a lot want to say. I've heard this B'Shem Rabbi Heinemann, but the OU has it on their website as well. They feature this Nakuda very prominently. Rebelsky's Maram is in his tshuva. And that is that based on that, that in and of itself would be a tremendous svara to be makel. And the reason is because although it's true, there are national statistics that say how often this procedure is done. But apparently it varies from farm to farm or from manufacturer to manufacturer. So when we say 1 to 9%, let's work with that number. There are places where it could be 1%. There are places it could be 9%. It's not that of every 100 animals, it's going to be between 1 and 9. That's not the way it is. It really depends on who the veterinarian is. It depends. Different places have different minhagim, which means that there are farms where the number can be 9%. There are farms where the number can be 1% or maybe even 0%. If that's the case, when you drink milk, you don't really know which farm this milk is coming from. It could be it's coming from a place where they actually never had any animal that they did this invasive procedure to treat the DA or the LDA. So really, it's a suffix if you're even drinking something that was Nesarev in a Taruvais. If it's a suffix if you're drinking something that was Nesarev in a Taruvais, that means really what you have is a suffix Drabana. Because even if it was Nesarev in a Taruvais and you don't have Shishim Kineged, it would be awesome in the Rabbanan. So the whole Shai was in the Siddur Rabbanan. And you have a suffix. Why is it a suffix? Because, you know, maybe the farm that I got, that my milk comes from, they don't do this procedure at all. I know nationally they do, but not every farm does. As a result, you can don as a suffix. If each one you can don as a suffix, so you could look at it as a suffix Rabbanan. But the truth is, and really this is what Kedai, I think, speaking about for a few minutes this morning is that we mentioned this yesterday. You have to take a step backwards. You know, we're talking about the animals that have this procedure done, and because they're animals that have this procedure done, how do you know when you drink milk, you're not drinking from milks that have this procedure? Okay, this is very controversial. Kamekomus in the Shtabra, we spoke out to Koyach Da'atera. There's a Tzad Isser in this whole Shmuz as well. Koyach Da'atera is always adif, it's more fun. So we spoke out to Koyach Da'atera. But everyone should ask their local rabbi. This is not La Halacha, this is just, we just do raid. But as it relates to really the bigger question, and that is how you let it drink milk at all. This is a serious problem if you think about it. I mean, it's not. But if you think about it, it feels like it should be. And that is because speak to any shaykhit, he will tell you that there's a good percentage of animals that they shecht, that they find treifas. Let's take a number that I've seen G'dolei HaPoskim use, 20%. So it means 20% of animals are real treifas. And when I say treifas, I don't mean sirchis, ramah, kilov, miyuch, mishmush. That already could be soymechan, kulis, they're really all sfeikis. You see that the mesoyer is to be maker when it comes to circus. The whole ramah is predicated on a kula. The whole keel of controversy came down to a kula. But let's talk about a real treifa. There's a real percentage. I mean, someone told me that Hebrew National throws out 12% of their animals because they're treifas. So I mean, ad kedei kach. So you were talking about their standard, 12% of the animals don't make the cut. So there's real treifas issues. So if that's the case, when you shecht an animal, you know if it's a treifa or not. But when you milk an animal, you have no idea what you're doing. So that means you have to assume about 20% of the milk in circulation, Chol Yisrael milk, in the Heimish grocery stores, are treifa milk. So al ma anu soimchim, how do we drink milk? At first glance, it would seem to, we're discussing this. Okay, we found this new einfach. The DA, the LDA, wow, there might be treifas. And without that, there's no treifas issue? 20% of animals are treifas anyways, let's assume. So if that's the case, why isn't that a problem? But the M is, that is a tois. And again, this is very, very important. The reason that's a tois is because every single animal has a chazokah. There's a roiv that it is kosher. Roiv behemis ksherim him. Chazal said this in Chulin Daf Yud Aleph. It permeates Masechtos Chulin. Roiv behemis ksherim. So each individual animal has a chazaka or roiv, whichever one you want to use, that it's kosher. Each animal is considered to be kosher. It's kosher based on the idea that roiv behemis are kosher. Thus called the parish, meruba parish. You assume that this animal is a kosher animal. If that's the case, then any time you milk an animal, you assume the animal that you're milking is a kosher animal. Now, it's true that if you're going to milk 100 animals, each animal, although it in and of itself has a halacha of kol parish, meruba parish, and we assume it's a kosher animal, but once you mix the 100 together, at this point, you have to assume 10 to 20 of them may be a treifa. That's fine. And a chanami. No, you can't argue that mitzias. But the reality is each animal is kosher. So from a pure halachic standpoint, we look at all 100 animals as if they're kosher, and that's why it's not going to be an issue. Now, it's a chiddush, because it's true, each animal, if you look at it individually, is a kosher animal. But may chatesi have a right to do that. Maybe you should look at the summation, look at the big picture, look at the 20,000 foot view. And what's that? If you look at the big picture, what you have over here is a taruvas where you know for sure 20 of the animals are milking non-kosher milk. But the answer to that is you don't do that. The answer is
From a halachic standpoint, you look at each animal individually, and being that you look at each one individually, it's for that reason, that's the way you're supposed to look at it. Rav Osher Weiss, in his Minchas Usher, it's in Parshas Mishpatim, it's Simin Mem Gimel. So he has a part of it, it's Sif Katan Dalit, it's B'Sheilis Kashrus Acholah Bizmanenu. So he brings this Shiloh. He says that somebody told him, and he was very bothered, how do we drink milk today? At the end of the day, you know for sure that if you buy milk, two out of 10 containers of milk in your local grocery store have a trade for this. How are you going to drink it? So you're going to tell me, Svaris, how do you understand this? He says like this, when the Yisoida we just spoke out. The Yisoid had Tos, the Tos is, the Masha Hechlifu Ben Din Torah Dachri Rabbim Lahatois, they confused Achri Rabbim Lahatois, Lemadoi Hastatistika. With statistics, the af im ms nochin hadover shebe histabrus statistics ef shaloi mal eder behemis shkulang sheres. He can't say on an eder of behemis that they're all kosher. Eliyesh lahaniach shekish ochas hamiut hakloli yiyah sheyir kach ochas hamiut gam be eder zeh ach loy came bedin teira does lina baserayif ulufay mishpatei ateira dainina bechol behemah din ksheira umemela afim yitzdarfu behemis rabbis kulang sheres afledin teira. He says roif is not statistics. Statistically speaking, 20 out of the 100 animals are treif. But in halacha, 100 out of the animals are kosher. Because in halacha, you look at each one individually. Each one is a parish, meruba parish. Each one has a roi behemis ksherim heim, supporting it. It has a certificate that it's kosher. And as a result, you have 100 kosher animals. So from a hilchas roif standpoint, 100 out of 100 are kosher. From a statistical standpoint, only 80 out of 100 are kosher. And if that's the case, the 20 would be a lot more than shishim. You'd have a problem in this taruvos. But we don't go based on... Roiv is not statistics. Roiv is not the statistical probability. That's not what it is. Roiv is a halacha. Now, it works within the realm of statistics. There's a svara behind the roiv, but it doesn't have to match. It doesn't have to shtim with the statistics. At the end of the day, roiv has a life of its own. And if roiv could paskin on each animal on its own, that it is a kosher, so it doesn't matter if I know statistically that some of these animals are not kosher. Roiv paskin on each one, roiv beim is kosher. And that's why it's going to be kosher. He brings over there that somebody asked him a kasha, that if, says, I want to ask you a question. If somebody would swear, if somebody would go over to, he'd walk into a grocery store, he said it on the farm level, but if somebody would go into a grocery store and he would make a shvua that there's no chal of treifa in this grocery store right now, would it be a real shvua? Would it be a shvua shav? Would it be a shvua shaker? Would it not be a shvua shaker? And somebody swears. He walks, he's going to walk into a grocery store, he says he swears there's no chal of treifa. It's a shvua shaker. Because there's for sure chal of treifa there. But he said he's not a spoiler, Rabbi Shua. He says, I'm asking. You want to know if this chal from a treifa? Yeah, that's true. But I don't care if it's chal of a treifa or not. I care if it's kosher or not. And if you swear that there's milk in this grocery store that's not kosher, that's a shvua shaker. It's chal of treifa, or it's a kosher chal of treifa. Because at the end of the day, we go basar roif. So I don't care what the statistics say. At the end of the day, you go basar roif. And if you go basar roif, roif paskins that they're all kosher. Ubimetzias yodanu sheesh mir treifas. That's true. Avalim nishba shakala behemis yeshlam din ksheira. That's a good shvua. And a chanami. You can't swear that there's no chalav of a treifa. Because that's probably a shvua shaker. It's based on statistics. And statistics would not allow you to make such a shvua. You're not supposed to be delusional. That's not the point of this. You're not supposed to assume, yes, somehow, that Hashgach is fearing it, that we're not getting any chalav treifa. And maybe there's such a concept as well. But that, from a pure halachic standpoint, that's not what it is. That would be on the hashkafa above our pay grade level. But from a practical standpoint, that's not the point. That's not the point. We have to go with the metzias when it comes to halacha. We're going with the metzias. Metzias says that enochinami, the metzias says that enochinami, we know there's a miut of treifas over here. Such a strong miut that l'chere creates a taruvus lav balach where we have real problems because you don't have shishim keneged. But at the same time, being that on each individual one, we have a psak that each individual one is okay, it's for that reason it's going to be okay. My understanding is that there are G'dayli Yisrael that are not so comfortable with this. I've heard anecdotally, I don't know this first time, but I've heard anecdotally the Rav Heschel Schachter doesn't drink milk, and he talks about this, how he's worried about this. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's true, we, you know, it's coming down to a roiv. Roiv beim is ksherim heim, but the Metzias is not that way.
And really, when you're dealing with Rav, it's a problem because Rav, you know, Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adiv. There's Rav Chanan that maybe we'll speak about tomorrow. But Rav is supposed to be a mevarer. It's supposed to be a machria. And the question is, can you use Rav when Rav is not being mevarer? Let's say chazaka. So chazaka, you could have chazakas that are sasri lahadadi because chazaka is not a mevarer anyways. Chazaka is like anhaga. I don't know what to do, so you just leave it with a chazaka. But Rav, the whole chefetz of a Rav is to be mevarer. So how could you have a Rav that doesn't stem with the metzias? That doesn't stem with the statistica, like Rabusha Weiss calls it. But regardless, this fascinating raid that literally is not just negeya halacha l'maisa, every coffee you drink, unless you drink it black. Every coffee, this is negeya. So either way, this is the fascinating thing. That as it relates to the tarfus issue where we know that 20 animals are treif, that doesn't bother me. Because for that, you have Rabusha Weiss's tshuva. What bothers me is the few percentage of animals that had this procedure done, that Ulayef Shatamer might be a treifa. So at first glance, it seems interesting, right? You know 20 animals have holes in their lungs. That doesn't bother you. But the fact that there's a displaced abomasin, which was something that was discovered 20 years ago, that maybe some place can hold as a problem, that's already going to be a big tumult. The answer is yeah. The answer is because as it relates to the regular, the circus, you have a roi behemoth, you could be soymich on the roi, because it's the efshel levrure. When it comes to the DA, that's efshel levrure. That you could be mavar. You could be mavar because you could see the scar. As a result, even though from a statistic standpoint, it seems, but when it comes to halacha, we don't care about what the statistics say. We look at it from a pure halachic standpoint. The 20% of circus doesn't bother me. But the displaced abomasin, that's already a big tumult in halacha.